Yes, it's not in the middle of nowhere. It's in a large field, large cornfield, in the middle of a large cornfield. So this work is collaborated with my advisors, Professor Milind Kulkarni and Professor Saurabh Bakshi. So I would like to first show you a few numbers. So these days, the scale of computation is increasing quickly. Like the number of CPUs or the number of processors, you can have a single PC with up to 8 cores, and you can have a workstation like have 200 some cores, and you can have a supercomputer have 1.5 million cores. And also the size of data is also increasing quickly. A single hard drive can contain like 4 terabytes, and the largest known Hadoop installation at Facebook can contain like 21 petabytes, and the largest Elastic file system is it achieve 55 petabytes. So in order to scale up your program, you would have to work harder to make it do the right thing at large scale. So in this work, we're targeting at a specific type of bugs called scale-dependent bugs. So what is so special by this kind of bugs? It is we define this kind of bugs as the one that only manifest at large scale runs, while they keep invisible in small scale runs. So in a common scenario is that the programmers would like to write and testing a program at small scale runs. Like you can use some small scale system and use some synthetic data, then you test your program and you think, oh, it works. But later on, the user would install the same program in some production system, which is in a much larger scale. But how do you know if your program is behave correctly in a large scale production run? So in this graph, I have the x-axis as the scale of execution, and the y is the some runtime measurement, the feature. So you can see there was some kind of trend in a testing run. So ideally, the question is how do you localize the bug on a scale that you have never seen before? So ideally, you should have a curve which can predict what would be the correct behavior in the large scale. So therefore, you need a model to do this. In our previous work, Vrisha, we use a scaling property to detect such bugs. So the behavior feature, we call them control feature in the work, and the scale of execution, we call them, the behavioral feature, we call them the observational feature, and the scale of execution, we call them control feature, which means that we expect that the control feature and observational feature is highly correlated in some space. The question is, how do we find this space? We use a statistical model called kernel canonical correlation analysis, which basically try to infer two transforms, F and G, and after the transformation, the two sets of features would be highly correlated in the space, in the transformed space, like this. So if you have a large scale run, how do you know if it is buggy or not? You just need to insert the measurement from the large scale run X and Y into this formula, just to compute the correlation between the two sets of feature, and if it is negative, then we say there could be a bug. So however, in this system, we don't have an automatic way to derive what is the correct behavior at large scale, because we can only find if there is some off the trend thing happening in large scale, but we don't know what is the value for the large scale runs. In the system of Vrisha, we use manual analysis to extrapolate the scaling trend of each individual feature. So you may think that you can do this for a few number of features, like one, but in a real In the real world, you may have this many number of features. You need to do this extrapolation. So we think it is impossible to achieve that manually. Therefore, we propose the new model, which is a modified version of our old model. In this model, the fundamental thing about this model is it can predict the correct value for large scale run. So let's say you have a measurement from some large scale run, the control feature, which can be the number of processes or the size of data in the run. And then you can just use the same transformation F from KCCA, then you can get this FX, which is supposed to be highly correlated with the observational feature Y in the projected space. So we can use linear regression to infer what is the value of G of Y. But now we want to infer what is the correct value of Y. So we need to reverse map to get the observational feature Y. But the problem with Varisha's model is that G can be any function and it may not even have a closed form. So that's why maybe you cannot inverse this function. So here we limit the kind of transformation you can use to be a linear function. Therefore, we can have this reverse mapping of G. So after replace G with G prime, which is a linear transformation, then we can reverse map to the observational feature space. Then we just assume this is the correct behavior of this program at large scale if there is no bug. So after we have this model, the localization of bugs can be as easy as just comparing the predicted value and the actual value for the observational feature. So the bug localization is done by compute the difference between the actual value and the reconstructed value, and we rank all the features by this number. So the observational feature corresponding to the highest error is the locations that is most possible to have the bug. Oh, okay. Yeah. I forgot to give an example of the observational feature. So the observational feature could be the amount of data you send at each unique calling context, like at each unique call stacks, you can how many bytes you send, and also it can be how many times you hit a particular loop in the execution. So therefore, after we localize the bug to some particular calling context, then we can relate this to the source of the source of the bug. Okay. So in summary, the workflow of our system can be split into two phases. The first one is the training phase. We use a series of small-scale testing runs. Then we collect the observational features and control features. Then this is achieved by using a runtime instrumentation system called PIN. We're just recording the amount of data you send at unique calling contexts, and also the size of system and the ID of each process as well. So the model is try to train a model that can predict the correct value for large scale run. And later in the production run, we just use the same instrumentation to collect the same set of features. Then to detect the bug, we need to use KCCA. If they have a negative correlation, then we say that there is a bug. Then Next step is to localize the bug. We use the trained model to reconstruct the observational feature. Then we just rank all the features by the arrow. So let's see how this works in real cases. In the paper, I have two case studies, but here I will only cover one of them. This is a bug in MPH2, which is a popular implementation of MPI. So this bug is happening in a function called allGather. AllGather is a function that that allows a set of processes to exchange a piece of data with each other. And MPH2 implemented three algorithms to optimize the performance for different scales. And the integer overflow bug can make the function to choose a suboptimal algorithm. So in order to train a model, we built a test application to trigger the bug at exactly 64 processes run. And we instrumented a socket API calls in the library. And the control feature is the number of processes in the run and the rank of each process, which is just the ID of each process. And the observational feature is the amount of data you send at each unique calling context. Calling context here is just the call stack. So then we train the model with the data collected from 4 to 15 process runs. Then we successfully localize the bug in 64 process run. Okay, this graph is showing how do we localize the bug. So the X is the ID of each feature. So in the test application, we only have 20 features. And the Y-axis is the arrow of reconstruction in log scale. So it is pretty clear that feature 9 and 18 has the highest reconstruction error, which means they are the most erroneous. Then we just need to relate this bug to these two features. Then if you're looking into the code of allGather, there is a if statement here. The product of three integers, it is very easy to overflow an integer variable here than to make this function to choose a suboptimal algorithm. So the feature 18 and 9 is happening right inside this if structure. And the bug makes that the communication that should have been made at 9, but instead, most of the communication was made at 18. That's why if you just compare the call stack of the two features, you can relate the root cause of the bug to the conditional. We still have a couple of open questions for this work. So first of all, the feature selection is very important to make this technique works. There was two requirements for a very good feature, like they have to be correlated with scale. Therefore, you can train the model to reconstruct the correct value for the features. And then the next one is the feature has to be located near the bug, because otherwise the bug manifestation may not even have any impact to the value of a feature. The next problem is that we observed there was some non-deterministic behavior in some low-level functions, like in some network API, you may have a queue, and if the network is congested, then we just want to queue the message and send it later. So in order to solve this issue, we can just aggregate low-level features into high-level ones, which share the same calling context. Therefore, in a high-level feature, you don't have many non-determinism. You may have more deterministic behavior. And the next problem is that there could be some discontinuity in the scaling trend. For example, you may have another a very different algorithm in the large scale runs. So in this work, we assume that we have the same scaling trend hold for all runs. And the last one is this technique applicable to a lot of cases? So we don't have answer to that question yet, but we can answer that question by two ways. One is to inject a lot of fault synthetically and verify how much percentage of all the injected fault can be localized by this technique. And the other way is you can survey a large number of bugs, real bugs, and we can see how many of those real bugs can be detected by this technique. So in conclusion, we have developed Abrenta, which leverage novel statistical modeling techniques to automate the detection and localization of scale-dependent bugs. And we have studied two real bugs, and we show that Abrenta is able to successfully and automatically localize the bugs. And thank you. That's my talk. Any questions? Yes. We just use a numerical parameter in the command line. Like you can have a lot of command line arguments, and we use those numerical ones so we can train a model. Then we assume that the application have deterministic behavior if the input parameter is fixed. This was actually addressed in the second open question. There could be some non-deterministic behavior, but we can use we can just aggregate low level ones into high level ones, and they can be more determined by the input parameter. I can imagine if you have a fixed set of observational features, then you can trace back and see, maybe you can use taint tracking technique to trace back and see what are the input parameters that can control those behaviors. But we haven't done that in this work. Yes, I think feature selection is very important for this to work, because if, as this question shows, if you have a very poor selection of features you use, then maybe the model you build is not applicable to large scale runs. Therefore, you can do nothing with the model. So, I think it's not completely determined by the quality of the feature, but I think that can be answered with some large-scale synthetic injections. Then we can study what is a false positive and false negative. But in this work, we don't have the numbers to answer this question. Yeah, sure. In this, I think the set of bugs you can find with this technique is largely determined by what features you use. So if the feature you use does not have anything to do with the bug's manifestation, then you basically can do nothing with this.
And so Marco, the question you're basically asking is, when does the statistical basis fail? I don't think I
In some case, maybe the model you build with the workload is not representative. Then for some other scale, then this model is not transferable to that scale, then the model is not working for that scale. So basically, okay. A simple example is that maybe the bug, it does not cause a change of control flow in this case. Then since we are collecting features corresponding to control flow, then we cannot catch any bugs that does not change the control flow. Like if you have some corruption in the data, then with this feature set we have chosen in this work, we cannot capture that.
So who selects the feature set? Is it something that you extract from the data? Is it something that you
We don't have a way to automatically select the set of features to use in the model, but this also could be achieved. Like you can use some automatic technique, like taint tracking. If you can starting from the input parameter, then you just taint. You can just track the taint and see what are the observational features that are impacted by the input parameter. Then you just capture those features in the runtime.
So my concern is you're building a model based on certain features, but if those features are not comprehensive in representing reality, then you're going to get some very distorted correlations which may have no meaning whatsoever. So I'm just trying to understand that the correctness of your model is based on the comprehensiveness of finding all the features. So what's the process for finding the feature? If I choose an incomplete set, I'm going to get some correlations where the model would look nice but has no correlation to reality.
We don't have an automatic technique to choose the features, but say that I think